Welcome back to this episode of The Beaver Dam. I am your host, Trent Mast, joined along with Patrick Spillman. Pat, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm glad to be back. Obviously, last Monday, Mom was having surgery. Had to be home for that. Family matters over anything. But she's doing good. She's feeling great. Other than seeing her walk, you would never know that she had surgery last Monday. So, doing good. How are you, Trent?
I'm doing good. I'm glad your mom is doing okay. She does a lot for us. And it's just, I've just been hoping that everything has gone well. And every time you've gone home and come back and everything's been okay, it just makes me feel good because she's a wonderful lady and she does so much for not only you, but all of your friends here at Bluffton and for the soccer team in general. We're glad you're back too.
I'm glad to be back. Glad to be back.
Last week we had Colton in here and he did a wonderful job. But Pat's back this week and we're going to jump right in, but we're going to talk about just a little bit of the NBA All-Star game that happened yesterday and then jump right into Beaver Athletics with men's basketball, women's basketball, indoor track, and then kind of preview a little bit of baseball, softball, and outdoor track because those are starting up here soon. So the NBA All-Star game was yesterday at 7 o'clock.
8:30.
I don't know why I keep thinking it's 7 o'clock. I thought it was 7 o'clock yesterday. 8:30. Team LeBron and
Team Giannis.
And we watched a little bit of it in the room. First half, I believe, we watched. And it was different.
The All-Star game is not the game you want to watch if you want to watch some basketball because guys don't really play defense. They're enjoying having some time. You know, there's some pretty memorable moments, though, in the game, you know. LeBron being teammates with Kyrie, everything going back with the whole Cleveland Cavaliers situation. LeBron being teammates with Dwayne Wade. Obviously, Dwayne Wade is on his farewell tour. His already announced he will be retiring at the end of this year. He was voted into the All-Star game. It was memorable for him. Him and Dirk Nowitzki were both honored, both of them being their last years, both honored with jerseys before the game. And the lob off the backboard pretty much recreated the famous photo from when LeBron was back on the Heat. It was pretty cool, but LeBron, you know, you say that there's no defense, but LeBron's team came back from an 18-point deficit to end up winning by, like, 14, so.
Yeah, just there at the end, it was, like, third, fourth quarter started, and that's when everyone started kind of taking the game a little more seriously, and that's when it really got fun to watch. I watched a little bit of the end as well, but there was a lot of dunks, a lot of threes shot.
167, a new All-Star game record.
And just all around, I mean, I like watching that because they're just out there having fun. I mean, you could see smiles on all the guys' faces. And even though, yeah, it's not the most competitive game, it's still
It's a nice, relaxing week for these guys to be able to play together. Mm-hmm. You know, and be able to just relax a little bit. You're traveling all the time during the season, and you just need to be able to relax and hang out.
There's something a little fun about having guys that don't normally play together, or teammates playing against each other. It's just different and just a little bit of something new for all of the players, and they're all good players, but as Pat said, there wasn't very much defense there at the beginning, but it was still fun to see guys dunking. I mean, I like dunking because I'm a shorter guy and I can't dunk, so seeing somebody dunk I think it's cool.
It was pretty cool. Steph Curry even got a dunk there, which Everyone was like, wait, Steph Curry can dunk? Which he's done it a few times in games, but I think people were kind of surprised when he did dunk the ball.
I watched that, and I was surprised because I didn't know he could dunk. So just that happened yesterday, and they'll get back onto their regular season games. We'll take a, a quick little break and come back and jump into Beaver Athletics. You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
And we're back here with the Beaver Dam. I'm Trent Mass, joined along with Patrick Spillman. We're going to be talking about first the men's basketball from Saturday. So the Bluffton University men dropped a tough one on the road to Franklin College Grizzlies 72-67 on Saturday, February 16th. The Beavers had three players in double figures on the day. Bluffton caps off the regular season at 17-8 overall and 11-7 in the Heartland Conference, while Franklin improved to 11-14 on the season and 9-9 in the HCAC.
With 14:39 left in the first half, the Beavers took their first lead of the game when junior Andrew Renner hit a jump shot that made it 8-7 in favor of the Beavers. After a poor first half of shooting from both teams, Desmond Brown cut the Franklin lead to 26-25 following a jump shot with 1:09 left in the first half. The Grizzlies would carry the 26-25 lead into halftime.
The Beavers were looking to put behind them the poor shooting first half and catch fire in the second half. Sophomore Aaron Rich hit a jumper that cut the Grizzlies' lead to 29-27 with 18:06 left in the contest. Bluffton was playing from behind for the majority of the game and saw its deficit grow as the game progressed. But with 13:21 left in the game, 3:21. Oh my word, I can't read, I'm sorry. With 3 minutes 21 seconds left in the game, Renner drilled a huge 3-point shot that would make the score 63-60 in favor of Franklin. The furious comeback by the Beavers wasn't enough to overcome the Grizzlies' hot shooting down the stretch as Bluffton dropped a 72-67 decision on Saturday afternoon.
Bluffton was led by freshman Jameel Cosby, who dropped a career-high 23 points, going 9 of 17 from the field and 3 of 4 from the three-point line. He also pulled down 3 rebounds. Renner netted 16 on 7 of 18 shooting from the field, while Desmond Brown also notched double figures with 12, going 5 of 9 from the field, while pulling down 5 boards in the loss.
The Beavers hit 29 of 66 from the field for 43.9%. compared to 31 of 54, 57.4% for the Grizzlies. Bluffton was 5 of 19 from three-point land for 26.3%. The Grizzlies were a ridiculous 9 of 15, 60% from behind the arc. Franklin turned the ball over 13 times compared to just 5 from the Beavers.
Despite nailing down the number 4 seed with the upcoming HCAC tournament, the Beavers will have to travel to Hanover College on Friday with a matchup against the number 5 seed Anderson University Ravens. That game will be at 6 p.m. The winner will face Hanover, the number 1 seed, on Saturday, February 23rd, with the championship of the HCAC being on Sunday. Trent, they're playing Anderson again. I'm obviously from Anderson, have 2 high school teammates from Anderson. Anderson's already beat the Beavers twice this year, and I'm hoping third time's going to be the charm here for the Beavers.
Yeah, I was just about to say that the Anderson has beat the Beavers twice already this year. And it's win or go home at this point. So for the Beavers to continue in the tournament, they're going to have to pull something together on Friday to beat Anderson because they haven't beat them yet. They haven't figured it out yet. But we hope they can.
Yeah, the Beavers are definitely going to have a tough road to get a chance to win the championship. Obviously, losing twice to Anderson throughout the year. They did defeat Hanover at home, but they are going to have to go through 2 tough opponents before they even get a chance to even play in the championship. So it should be interesting. We wish good luck to the Bluffton Beavers basketball team. I'll be watching on the live stream. Definitely wish that they could host at least one game, but with Rose Holman having finals this week, it doesn't allow for the Beavers to be able to host the game as they're waiting till Rose Holman's finals are done and over with.
Yeah, and to go back to the game from Saturday, looking at all of the stats, the only thing that really killed the Beavers was their shooting percentage. Beavers' rebounds were 30 compared to Franklin with 31, so they got out-rebounded by 1. Turnovers, Franklin had 13. Bluffton had only 5. points off turnovers, Bluffton had 15. Franklin had 4. Second chance opportunities, Bluffton had scored 8 of those, and Franklin had none. Points in the paint, Beavers were 34, Grizzlies had 38. So there were 4 points less. Fast break points was dead even at 11, and bench points were also dead even at 2.
Yeah, it was. I watched the game on the live stream, and it honestly, it was just seemed that every single time that the Beavers started to make a run, that Matt Krause of the Grizzlies, who was the Grizzlies' leading scorer with 22 points, would just knock down a shot. He probably had the game of his life against the Bluffton University. Obviously, the Grizzlies are number 6. They will be playing Rose Holman on Friday as well. They knew that they were going to be in the tournament, and they wanted to go out with a win, especially with it being senior night for them on their home court. And Matt Krause hit down some clutch shots for the Grizzlies in order for them to be able to hold that lead, because the Beavers did everything they possibly could to try and win that game.
Yeah, so we wish them the best of luck this weekend. First and foremost on Friday, because Friday's most important game now is Friday night, then Saturday, and then
yeah, they can't get stuck looking ahead. They gotta focus on Anderson. Then regroup and get a game plan ready for Hanover. But they definitely can't overlook Anderson, since Anderson's already beat them twice this year.
I agree with that, and we just wish them the best of luck. We always hope our Beaver teams come out with the win. But Friday, if you can, go out and support. If not, watch the live feed and just cheer on your Beavers as they are in the HCAC tournament. Now, on to the women from Saturday. Bluffton University women's basketball team was steamrolled by Franklin College on Saturday, February 16th, by a score of 83-56. The loss dropped the Beavers to 9-16 and 7-11 in the Heartland Conference. Franklin finished the season 8-17, including a 6-12 mark in the HCAC.
The first quarter was a high-scoring one, as both teams were having no problem getting the ball into the hoop. Brianna Gillick had 9 points in the opening period to pace the Beavers. Franklin led the Beavers 23-20 after the first quarter.
Second quarter was once again controlled by Franklin, but the scoring pace slowed considerably. Bluffton was never able to gain control of the lead in the second quarter, as the visitors went into halftime trailing by 7, 37-30.
Franklin quickly stretched the lead to 16 points in the third quarter, 48-32, with 6:05 remaining in the third quarter. The rest of the quarter went back and forth, but the Beavers still trailed 59-44 at the end of three.
The fourth quarter was more of the same, as Franklin completely dominated with 24 points compared to Bluffton's 11, en route to the convincing 83-56 victory.
TJ Mills scored 19 points for the Beavers, going 7-11 from the field and 4-4 from the free throw line, while pulling down 5 rebounds. Gillick scored 14 points while going 6-8 from the floor to go along with 4 rebounds. Abby Parkins led the Beavers in rebounds with 6.
Bailey Walker scored 15 points for the home team, going 7-10 from the floor while pulling down 6 rebounds. Destiny Cross added 14 points thanks to a perfect 10-10 from the free throw line. And she also had 4 steals. Ashlyn
Acock
pinched in 10 points for the home team.
Bluffton shot 21-58 from the floor, which is a 36.2 shooting percentage, while Franklin was 30-64 with a 46.9 percentage. Both teams struggled from the three-point line, as the Beavers went 3-18 shooting just 16.7%, while Franklin was 1-9 shooting 11.1%. The Beavers were out-rebounded by the Grizzlies 44-32, while the Beavers committed 18 turnovers to Franklin's 10. The Grizzlies also finished with 18 more points off the bench, with the Grizzlies leading that 27-19.
Bluffton will quickly put the loss to Franklin in the rearview mirror, as the Beavers look forward to the opening round of the HCAC tournament at Hanover College on Tuesday, February 19th, tomorrow. Tip-off is slated for 7:30 p.m., with the victor punching its ticket to Lexington, Kentucky for the matchup with Rose Holman in the semifinals at Transylvania on Friday night.
Obviously, the Beavers did not end the regular season with the way they wanted to. Somehow, some way, even with the losing record in the HCAC, they still found a way to get the sixth spot in the tournament and will compete in the HCAC tournament. Definitely going to be something that we have to keep our eyes on. Obviously, playing at Hanover, who only has 4 losses in the conference, is going to be tough, especially at their place. But I think this Beaver team can pull it off if they play the defense that they have shown that they can play. Obviously, it's been an up-and-down year for the Beavers. A lot of learning curves for a lot of young players. But I believe that the Beavers and Coach Shuttler are going to come out and give their best effort at Hanover. You know, tournament plays a completely different atmosphere.
Yeah, and I was just looking at the stats here, and a lot of the game was for the Beavers. I mean, they had a lot more turnovers, 18 to Franklin, only 10. Points in the paint really killed them. Franklin had 52 points in the paint, while the Beavers had 22. And then bench points, the Grizzlies had 27 compared to the Beavers 9. So their shooting percentage wasn't the greatest, and they turned the ball over a lot. We've seen this past season, they've played some really strong defensive games, and they've kept it close because their defense has been really good. But offensively, they just weren't clicking on Saturday, and that's really what killed them. Points in the paint, second chance points, and points off turnovers. Just altogether, the game it was just not a good game for the Beavers at all.
So they have to, you know, like we said, they got to put it behind them fast. You know, the game's obviously tomorrow.
NCAA rule, you have to have
one day off a week.
Days, you have to have one day off so you can go 6 days and then have your seventh day rest. And usually, since they play Saturdays, they rest Sundays, and they're back at it on Monday. So
they only had one
practice before tomorrow's game, and that was today's practice. But we do wish them the best of luck tomorrow as they travel to Hanover to play Hanover. Hopefully they come out with the victory so they can travel to Kentucky to face Rose Holman at Transylvania on Friday night. We wish the girls the best of luck in their game tomorrow. Hopefully they can pull out a win and continue in the HCAC tournament. On to indoor track, they finished up their season Saturday. The Bluffton University track and field team culminated their indoor season with the Heartland Conference Championships at Defiance College on Saturday, February 16th.
The women's team placed 6th overall with 52 points, defeating Mount St. Joseph, Anderson, Franklin, and Defiance. Rose Holman brought home the team title with 163 points, 32.5 points ahead of Hanover.
They were highlighted by junior Tori Bowen, who became the HCAC champion in the pole vault with an HCAC record-breaking vault of 3.62 meters, 11 feet, 10.5 inches, breaking the meet record that was previously held by 2017 Bluffton graduate Terrell Webb. That mark also vaults her into the 26th position in the NCAA Division III national list.
A pair of Beavers scored big in the shot put as senior Malin DeLong placed 3rd with a toss of 37 feet, 5.75 inches, while sophomore Stephanie Fox was 4th with a throw of 35 feet, 10.75 inches.
The other field event scorer for Bluffton was sophomore Ramey Bauer, who cleared 4 feet 11 inches in the high jump to place in the 7th position.
Switching to the track, junior Alexis Cash started off the day with a second place finish in the 5,000 meter with a time of 19 minutes 10 seconds. Cash followed that up later in the evening with the 4th place mark in the 3,000 meter with a time of 11 minutes exactly.
Senior Jenny Mattson also added the 5th place 5,000 meter finish with a time of 20 minutes 13.09 seconds. Sophomore Bailey Barrington also scored in 2 events as she started her day with a 6th place mark in the mile, the time of 5 minutes 32.4 seconds, and followed that with a 5th place finish in the 800 meters, time of 2 minutes 27.22 seconds.
Bluffton also added points in the distance melody with a 5th place finish by the team of Kimmy Hetrick, Tammy Groff, Hope Nixon, and Ari Cox, with a who recorded a time of 14 minutes, 45 seconds. In her first meet of the year after sitting with an injury, senior Katara Warlick was able to grab a point in the 60-meter dash with an eighth-place finish with a time of 8.37 seconds.
The men's team finished in the fifth position with 45 points, defeating Anderson, Mount St. Joseph, Franklin, Transylvania, and Defiance. Rose Holman won the conference championship with 199.5 points. Freshman Noah Judd led the field event athletes with a third-place finish in the long jump with a leap of 21 feet, half an inch.
Fellow freshman Brandon James added a fifth-place finish with a triple in the triple jump with a leap of 42 feet, 2.25 inches. James also finished fifth in the 60-meter hurdles final with a time of 9.19 seconds.
Elsewhere on the track, freshman Daniel Williams was third in the 60-meter dash with a time of 7.19 seconds, while sophomore Omar Warlick finished 7th in the 60 with a time of 7.39 seconds. Warlick also grabbed points in the 200 with a time of 23.64 seconds and a 7th place mark.
Junior Connor Golick added a 6th place mark in the 800 meter with a time of 2 minutes 2 seconds. Fellow junior Dakota Frost added a 5th place mark in the 3,000 meter with a big kick at the end of the race for a time of 9 minutes 11 seconds.
The Beavers also scored points in all three relays they put on the track on Saturday. The 4x2 team of Williams, Christian Parker, Dalton Tanner, and Warlick was fourth with a time of 1 minute 34.98 seconds, while the 4x4 team of James, Warlick, Gullick, and Judd also finished fourth with a time of 3 minutes 34.42 seconds.
The Distance Melody team of Joshua Eilers, Keon Camden, Austin Hernandez, and Jacob Hill grabbed 3 points with a 6th-place time of 11 minutes, 38 seconds.
So as we talked about all year, this track team has really improved a lot, and they've worked really hard. Also, just want to congratulate Tori Bowen on her top finish and her HDAC record-breaking vault. Congrats to her.
Yes, congratulations. And that's definitely an amazing mark to be able to not only bring first place, but to break the record. And not only was it a record broken in the HCAC, but it was also someone held by Bluffton.
Yeah.
Bluffton alumni.
We always like to see our athletes doing really well. And she also is now position 26 in all Division III in the NCAA. So that is very impressive. But all around, this track and field team has done really well all year. And we see that pay off here in the conference championships on Saturday.
Yeah, I think Coach Yakno will be a little disappointed. Both teams in the preseason were projected fourth place, and I think she'll be a little disappointed that they didn't hit that mark. But I think this team is young, and they're getting better every day, and you're actually seeing, like, Katara had her first meet. Katara had her first meet, as well as Keon Camden having his first meet as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where this team is going to continue to get better, and I think this is going to bring a lot of momentum into outdoor. It give the team a lot of confidence, and I think you could see them placing fourth place by the time outdoor hits, and even I think that they have a chance to even compete higher if they have good days on, you know, when the conference meet hits.
Yeah, and already I walked past one of our gyms today as I was heading to dinner after soccer lifting, and outdoor track has already started. They already started their practices. They started those today with everybody. And you can already see day one, they're already putting in the work to get better. And that's what we always want to see. And outdoor, their first meet will be Friday, March 1st. And it's a two-day meet. It's the Polar Bear Last Chance Invitational. That's Friday, March 1st, and Saturday, March 2nd.
That'll be at ONU. If you guys didn't know, obviously the ONU is the Polar Bears. So should be exciting to see. They have a little bit of time. You know, obviously today being their last meet being February 16th until March 1st, they'll have a little bit of time for just to be able to practice and put in some work. And hopefully the weather will start to cooperate and they can actually go outside and practice. Obviously, Ohio weather kind of makes it incredibly hard to be able to practice outside sometimes with freezing cold weather.
Yeah, and So that's a little bit on outdoor track. Up next, we have baseball. Baseball has been practicing for a couple weeks now. Mm-hmm. Mostly, they've been inside. I mean, obviously, it is not the most ideal weather to be playing baseball outside in Ohio in February. I mean, it was snowing a little bit earlier today. It rained last night, and it was so cold that it all froze, and they had to put salt down so we weren't slipping and sliding on our way to class today. But they've had a couple days where they've been able to go out and play on the turf, and their season starts Saturday, March 2nd, where they will be in Florida over spring break, like they do every year.
Very jealous that they get to be down in Florida, and I'll be in good old Anderson, Indiana,
in
the freezing cold.
Until, it looks like until Saturday, March 9th, so they'll be down there for about a week playing games down there. So that's always exciting. I know a lot of the guys work really hard so they can get to travel down there with the team, because we have a really big baseball team, and obviously 9 play at a time, maybe 10 if you have a designated hitter. But they are all been putting in a lot of work so they can get down and play some baseball here come March 2nd. And also the softball team travels to Florida during spring break as well. Their first game is Sunday, March 3rd, and they are also down there. They're only down there, says, until March 8th. No, wait.
Yep.
Yeah, March 8th. Actually, that's kind of funny. They will play ONU on the 8th in Florida, but their first game is against St. Joseph. That will be March 3rd. So we wish them best of luck. They've been practicing really hard, and I'm sure both the baseball and all of the softball girls are ready to be outside playing and not having to play in the gym. Because I know I played baseball in high school, and I would go right from wrestling right into baseball because they overlapped a little bit, depending on how far you made it in the wrestling tournaments. But I'd always hate those first few weeks when we were stuck in the gym, just because it's not the same playing baseball in a gym as it is playing.
Yeah, I think they'll be ready to be outdoors in some short sleeve shirts, mm-hmm. and be able to enjoy the sun. You know, that's the one thing about baseball season, especially here at the D3 level, is that it starts so early that it's freezing cold, but then by the end of the year it's pretty hot out there. It can be up to 90 degrees by the time the season will be over when we're out for the year in May. So yeah. Should be exciting to watch some Beaver baseball coming off from their first playoff, going into the HCAC tournament for the first time. I think they're wanting to build on that. They had a pretty young team last year, getting their star pitcher back in Brantley, mm-hmm. Kurnett. So I think that'll be huge for the Beavers to be able to try and build on what they did and maybe even have a chance to be playing for a championship.
Yeah, I'm really excited to watch both the baseball and the softball team. Softball team has had a rough start this year with all that has happened with their team and trying to find more girls. But I'm excited to watch both teams. Baseball, I always love watching baseball. It's just when I see baseball, I think summer, and I like warm weather. So summer is always good. But we wish the best of luck to all of our athletes. Our women's games tomorrow, our men playing their first conference game on Friday, so we wish them the best of luck, and then all of our spring athletes as they are practicing and competing, we none of them get injured and they can all stay healthy so they can compete this spring. And that wraps up this episode of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening, encourage you to come back and listen to us on Friday. Check out previous podcasts, search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play, The Wit 96.1 Podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at TheBeaverDam961. For more stories and information, check out our website, BlufftonWit.com, and subscribe. This has been Trent Mast, joined along with Patrick Spillman, and we thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit.
Roll Beaver!